We are recording.
I'll note the meeting has been properly noticed. I'll also note that we have a quorum present. This is a meeting of the Leon County Research and Development Authority's Board, convening on Thursday, October the 5th at 11 o'clock. We have some guests in the room. I think Ed Murray would like to make a comment or two. Ed, you have the floor.
Yeah, thank you. I know most of you all. I'm Ed Murray with NAI Council. We have had the privilege of managing, we were the management here for several years. We, those of you that don't know, we got hired after the accounting issues came on, and we've been fortunate to be here ever since. And I like coming in once a year or every year and a half or so, because you get to see our staff that, you know, does a good job and works for you guys. But I want to make sure you guys know that we appreciate the work. And if there's anything you need related to that, just Ron knows how to find us. If you don't know how to find us, just call me. Because our job is to, you know, collect rent, pay bills, live by the budget, and do those things. If we're ever not doing that, we can never do something better. You guys know how to find us. So that's all. I just want to tell you guys. Thank you for the work.
Well, if I can comment, I just want to say Stephanie's doing a fantastic job. Since she's come on board, everything's been cleaned up. Things are looking 100% better.
Yeah, we had some issues, and it took us a little while to recognize it.
Yeah.
It wasn't exclusive to Eden.
Okay.
But thank you, sir. I feel like, yeah, we couldn't be happier with her. She does. We get all kinds of compliments for her work, and she's great. And pleasant
thank
to work
you.
With. And everything doesn't get embarrassed when we talk about it. But thank you, guys. And that's all.
And on the other side, on the financial side, I've served as the audit chair for maybe three or four times. I've served as the treasurer once. I will commend your staff that's back on the office side, moving numbers back and forth. I think they do an excellent job for us. They kept us out of trouble. We had some very, very clean audits, and I thank you for that work as well.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys. I know.
And please pass that on to the
board. I will. Okay. That's all.
And
I
thank you for coming here today to
sure.
check in. We appreciate
sure.
that.
Sure. I'll see you. Bye. Okay. I'll let you up with
it. Okay. Enjoy your vegan food.
Yeah. I don't know what to get exactly. I'm going to a vegan restaurant for lunch. I've never been to one of those.
Make sure it looks
not,
like a breakfast to make sure
it's
my
not
system
that scary.
All right. One of the first items I'd like to do is to acknowledge our recent past chair, Ann Longman, for the work she's done. You may know that she's not been on the board as long as some of us. She came on pretty quickly. We asked her to step into some leadership roles. She volunteered, to accept that responsibility.
Just like you did, Dave.
Yeah.
And I will tell you that she was a very quick learner. Having not had all the experience some of the rest of us had, she jumped in and she figured out what the issues were and tackled them quickly. And Ann, I want to thank you for your role the last year as our chair. Well done.
Thank you. I just want to say that I say this all the time. I feel like we are just on the verge of some really great things, and I absolutely intend to hang in and be an active member and help in any way I can, because I think it's a very exciting future ahead of us. And thank you, Dave, for stepping up when maybe this wasn't the first thing that you wanted to do at this point.
You look good in that chair.
Yeah.
Oh, well,
it's working for you.
Didn't have my grandchildren's blessing nor my wife. So.
Right. We are really important. We're important.
It worked well. Also, let me note Eric Holmes stepping off the executive committee, and Ann and Eric both are two of only four people who had perfect attendance last year. So I'll acknowledge Eric's job well done. Thank you for serving in that role. Thank you for your attendance to both of you. Also, Dustin was a perfect attendance guy last year. So, so thanks to all of you for doing that. Are there any modifications to the agenda other than we might relocate a few things? But I think there is one modification.
Yeah, we have the Larry Lynch revised agreement, which I sent out as a supplement to the agenda.
Any opposition to changes to the agenda?
I think we should probably address that when we talk about the budget.
Okay, all right, okay. All right, because there are some time constraints for some members, we'll move to the budget at this time and discuss that.
Can we start with the consent agenda?
You want to do that quickly?
Get the vote on the minutes.
Well, let's do
the things we need to vote on. Yes. Let's get those things out of the way.
Yeah, let's get in good order here. Are there any public comments? I'll ask that. We've had one. Any other public comments? Okay, then we'll go to consent agenda.
Well, I'll make a motion for the minutes first.
Yeah, all right.
Second.
Motion made second. Any additions, deletions, changes to the minutes? Chair hears none. Motion to approve. Say bye.
Aye.
Say bye. Me. Opposed? None. Motion carries.
Did you say me?
Okay. Now we go to the consent agenda.
I move consent.
Motion is made to move consent.
Can I make one comment, just an update on item F, just to let you know where that's at? We did just receive, on the Ding bankruptcy, we received the confirmation order. It was entered on the 27th of September. And my understanding is that there's a 14-day period for which appeals can be filed.
21st.
I'm sorry, 21st, yes.
Yeah, 14 days, just about over.
No, I thought it was the 27th. The hearing was on the 21st. The order, the actual confirmation order was entered on the 27th.
Okay.
And then, so the 14-day period starts then. So next Wednesday, that period will be up. Then they'll enter the final order. And I think within 10 days after that is the effective date. And then I think the payments start at that point. We have an administrative claim of $43,700 that's to be paid as a part of that soon after the effective date. That's my understanding.
We're working on the sale of those assets from that
dip lender.
Yeah. And I think there's a good chance that everybody will be made whole again. That's the plan.
Yeah.
That'd be real nice.
Yeah, and the change, just to note, the change from the original reorganization plan, originally we were going to get an equity interest in the reorganized company, and that was changed to a 100% interest in any proceeds from the litigation that Ding is going after the other parties. So
yeah, the creditors get paid first.
Yes.
Yeah, right behind creditors.
So potentially we have $43,700 coming in the next 30 days.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And that included the $6,000 that was added to it.
Yes.
For removal of the hazardous waste.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. Are there any comments with regard to that? All right, is there a motion to...
Got a motion for consent. I was just going to say good
second.
Work to Ron, well, to everyone. This has been a long haul.
The Kills helped real well with that.
Oh, I was about to say,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So thank you all.
Yeah, we still need to get the rest of that stuff.
We need the money.
A little bit of stuff still needs to get out.
Okay, you've all had a chance to look over the items that are on the consent agenda. You've made a motion and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of approval say aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Hearing none, motion is approved. All right, now let's talk about the, skip over the strategic priorities and come back to that. Let's go with the budget.
Let's see, so hopefully you've all had a chance to look at the budget. I included this time, a little different than in the past, this narrative explaining the major changes from the previous budget. Most of you have been involved with this either on the budget committee or on the executive committee. I don't know how much of this you want me to go through, but the most significant item of change is the addition of a new position. And I included in the materials two job descriptions, one for a director of, what do we call this, of Business Incubation Acceleration Entrepreneurship. I'm sure we can find a way to shorten that title. And the purpose of this position, and this position is what's actually included in the budget that's been presented. The purpose of this position is to get us moving on the whole business incubation program. Not waiting for a building to be built. Get someone hired now, get them start working on programs, get them working on helping to actually get whatever space we need to build out, help with that, help design it, make sure
that...
That's right, the program's going to drive some of that, and that's why I think it's helpful to have somebody who's working on that also be the one involved in the design, and that would be the person that would ultimately
manage the program as well. So if you look at the feasibility study and the business plan, I think it recommended in there that you get somebody hired early, and the sooner the better. I had the same conversation with the manager of the UCF incubator, and she said the same thing. It's really critical that you get that person in early to be focused on developing the program. So that is my recommendation. The budget committee also suggested that we consider hiring in lieu of hiring this position, hire someone focused on business recruitment to try to bring folks to the park, to try to lease out more of the space that we have available, because we are going to be faced with some revenue concerns down the road. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Matter of fact, I have a sheet here that I think is probably important to look at.
Ron, aren't you getting any help from economic vitality?
Well, and that's
maybe the recruitment arm, so we didn't hit the hiring button.
Yes, and I think that's the way to go. That's my opinion, is that there's so much going on related to recruitment. I think between what OED is doing, I think with the Magnetics Task Force that's been started up. I don't know how much all of you know about that, but it was in OED's strategic plan. Carter Schneider basically proposed it and is chairing that committee on behalf of OED. And that committee reports up to the EBLC, the Leadership Council for the OED. Alphabet soup. They had their first meeting last Friday. Matter of fact, I've got something here I can show you. I can find out where my house is. Sorry, I'm working on two screens here. It's really hard to move from that to this. So they had their meeting on the 22nd. Actually, they reported to the Leadership Council. So the membership of this Magnetics Task Force, chaired by Ricardo, is Farouk Alvi, the Assistant Dean of the College of Engineering, Gary Ostrander, Greg Bowinger from the Mag Lab, Lynn Sun from Danfoss, and David Loveless.
Who is David Loveless? Anybody know? Just curious.
I don't know myself.
Long-time business consultant. And forgetting the company name that he worked for years ago, maybe 10 years ago, I had contact with him. But
just like general business?
I seem to remember there were some training components and some consulting components, but I'm not sure. Dave, you haven't worked with David
His name
before?
Is familiar, but I don't recall where I heard it.
Yeah, it's been a while, but
curious.
Okay. I met him as well. He has an organization called Vistage,
yes,
which is a sort of a CEO roundtable. They get CEOs together and talk about different CEO issues.
Yes, thank you for that.
I'm always curious.
It's not an acronym.
Consultant.
It is like the JMI peer-to-peer groups and those types of things, but
this is Florida.com.
I want to grow up to be a consultant.
Yes. So they started the process, and this is sort of the timeline they're looking at to build this task force team, which is what this first meeting was about. But the whole idea is that they're going to get together, they're going to identify four industries to go and try to recruit that are somehow connected to the Mag Lab and the Mag Lab technology.
Four?
I'm sorry?
Why?
Because that's the number they chose. But I'm not involved in those meetings, so I don't know what all the discussion is. But they want to have some focus.
They need to be.
But it wants to be more rifle shot than shotgun. And I don't know, they decided four was a good number.
We had six before.
This does not target industry sectors. The target industry sectors, the cluster mapping study, they've named six, or said they'd come up with six industries. I've had the same question. Why limit us? Let's see what the study says. This is specific to companies related to
if you study, you should come out with your top six opportunities.
and then everything right. else would be a longer shot.
There's two, yeah, there's
less
the bigger study.
Seat
yeah.
after you recruit.
And that is, I think, what's going to happen here in November, yeah. is once they have this initial conversation, do the asset inventory of what kinds of things they can help promote, then they get with the target industry consultants and define what those vertical markets are going to be.
It is probable that there are only major, four major magnetics companies who would have a great chance of being interested.
So they're working backwards?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. A little common sense.
Yeah.
I think they'd like to be able to say we hit a home run.
Yeah. Yeah.
If they found five or six, they wouldn't stop.
Right. So.
I think this is going to be an evolving piece. We're going to learn a lot from the study and from the committee. If they pick a few to start with, that might not be a bad thing.
Wouldn't it be helpful to us to have kind of updates from EOC?
Well, that's kind of why I was asking about that other guy. Are we getting enough information as this thing moves along, just to make sure that we're keeping up with it?
It just started, and I have a monthly meeting with Christina Paredes, and she updates me on what's going on, and then I report back to you.
She do it.
So, I mean, we can and have had periodic updates from.
Well, I would say right now, in the fundamental arrangement of priorities, would be a good time for us to be communicating with them, let them know what we're trying to do and where we might could use some funding. So when they start putting their funding priorities together, we're already in the pot.
And that is part of our conversation with them.
I would add to that, anybody who's involved with the larger group, I know a lot of you are the EDCC, if I got that one right.
And you're in that too as well, aren't you?
I'm in the we PP group.
Uh-huh. Well, that's easy to remember.
But encouraging direct updates. You know, if we got an update from the task force in a couple months from Christina or from, you know, Nudge Paul here, get an update from Ricardo himself, something like that, I think actively seeking those updates would probably be helpful. They said the target industry study is going to come back. It's going to be published in January, but not be presented to the Blueprint Board until March. So it'll move through some committees during that time. So maybe an update on that once it comes. But I think you're right, actively requesting that, and anyone who's involved, that would be helpful.
And I've met it several times.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Ron, and I assume, maybe wrongly, that these people are looking to us and here to be the locus of this, but maybe that's not correct.
Yes, it is. It is all about Innovation BART.
Okay.
And that is also included in this item. It comes out of the OEB strategic plan.
Okay.
If I can get back over there. So this is an excerpt, I believe, directly from the strategic plan. And Innovation BART is in this. They talk about needing to include Innovation BART in this and identify what kinds of things we can offer as they're out soliciting. The idea is that they're going to identify 10 prospects, okay? And they're going to go meet with those 10 prospects. Now, they'll come up with whatever that value proposition is going to be. They'll put a team together of folks who know about these companies and the technologies that can go out and then actually start soliciting.
Who does the recruiting?
That is something they're still working on. I had a conversation with Ricardo the other day, and that was one of the conversations: is who should be there? Who should be in the room? Who should lead the charge on selling? Is it OEB? Does OEB hire some talent who knows how to do this? But
hopefully, with Christina Perez and others, and Al Adler and others, they already got all the marketing type and recruitment personnel they need. But if that's not going to be them, then we certainly need to be talking. And I've spent some time with Al recently, to kind of help where I can and connecting where I can. And because he's new to Tallahassee or recently come back to Tallahassee. So it'd be a while before he knows everybody. So I just, and I would, I'd encourage any of you that have a chance to meet with Al, try to connect with somebody that's involved in what we're doing.
So my my concern is because what we have out here is in some ways so set. We don't have a lot of open land. We have things that might not be what people would think about automatically if they're talking about, oh, your company, come here, you know. I hope we can really talk to whoever is selling early enough to let them know, look, we can do this, but there are some, this is what we're having to work with here. You know, it's not like we have giant parcels to attract people to. So, not quite sure how to go about that, but.
Are you working with the committee in a support role? I thought you had said that might.
They made that basic overture, but I asked the question, what does that mean? And they don't have an answer yet.
Okay.
This thing is just getting off the ground.
Yeah.
They're just trying to figure out what
they're
doing. They're just setting some goals. You know, I think we're in the mix. It's just.
I don't think it makes a lot of sense.
I do too.
Mm-hmm. I
and,
do too.
And one thing I think they want is I think they want business to drive it. I think they want to involve government, but I think they want business to drive it. And I think that's a good thing. But let's see where they get going to, because I think they're going to identify some of the same questions as they go through the process. Is who's going to do this? I know Ricardo, for example, he knows what's out here at Innovation Park.
Yeah.
He
wants stuff here.
Yeah, he wants stuff here.
So that's
his benefit. The Mag Lab's involved, and Gary Ostrander's involved. It's all the right people who know what's out here. And
we're going to say.
No, go ahead.
I think you're right about all that, but getting into the specifics, knowing what's in the room at the board level, you are would be invaluable in that space as well. So I think pushing to make sure wherever this evolves, just tracking it and making sure when those companies come in that, I remember talking to Steve Evans about this years ago, that when we had a company coming into town, we were kind of creating the outreach program new every single time. And I wonder if this is a way to kind of set the tone for future as well. Who's going to be in the room, what you need to do to pull together. It's also about housing. It's also about school, you know, whatever that might be if you're recruiting companies in the workforce. So I do agree with you. They're going to get to that point, but staying on top of it is good. I would also say on the recruiter end, to your point, Kim, I do think this is something that will probably come out, I'm guessing, after the target industry study is done and presented in March, and they've already kind of teed up in the blueprint meeting a couple weeks ago a possible request to city and county for additional funds in advance of the sales tax money coming in. So it could be for programs, it could be for incentives, it could be for a lot of different things. We'll see that probably, I would guess, in the budget cycle for city and county next spring. So I don't think they have anyone dedicated to recruiting like we would see in some organizations or hiring an outside person. Al, Christine, others, I mean, they could do that. They're trained to do that, but they're also doing a lot of things.
I think that's what Al was hired to do.
I thought so too.
I
don't know his skill set yet. I mean, I know what he's supposed to have come to the community with, but he's still working on developing at this point in time some successes. Those don't come easy. Those take a long time.
He needs to be more visible. We got to figure out how.
Yeah.
Well, he does. Got to figure out how he can have little barbs here and barbs there, so that the community recognizes him as the guy in charge of recruitment.
Well, taking this back to the budget question, the you teed it up with the recruiter or that discussion in the budget meeting, right?
Yes.
To me, getting a person out here who is focused on the programs and developing things like that, that person could also be a pipeline for information, help support your work on that. You'd be the point person as our director, I would assume. and then keeping the recruiter conversation open. I think for us as a board, I'm not sure we need to hire anyone. I agree with you on that right now.
Yeah, I'm also looking at another option, which is from the chamber conference when the airport did their presentation and they talked about the arrangement they have with CBRE to try to help basically do something with the property that's out there. So I met with Tom Watson, who's the lead guy on that, the CBRE. He came in and I told him everything about the park, told him how this could actually help with what they're doing at the airport and vice versa. So he sent me their contract, the RFP that was done, and there's also a state term contract, but I don't see how that one applies, but I just got it yesterday, so I'm still evaluating that. But I think there might be an option to work with someone like that who is a global company who has connections into these larger companies that are R&D focused, who know what their needs are already have the relationships. We don't have to go reinvent the wheel to get into these organizations. We just got to show them the value proposition and let them go market it. And if it's a commission-driven relationship, then you know we're not out of pocket until something happens. To me, that's a very viable option. And that could happen a lot quicker than probably what's going to happen with OEB. I think OEB is going to, by the time they get budget, now they might get some money a little quicker, but you said that's fiscal 19.
It'd be FY19, and they have some money left over from the $1 million, $500,000 each from the city and county, but I think it's in FY19.
So we could probably get a broker relationship like that set up a lot quicker, especially if we're going to piggyback on an existing contract.
Is that individual primarily aviation focused?
They have different segments. They have a local person who is government focused, and so we would. That would be my first conversation with her to find out exactly what specialty do they have, research park folks that are already connected that can help with that. But I just think that's something worth exploring.
The coordination between the County Research Development Authority and Economic Vitality needs to be really close at that point, or really stepping on each other, trying to make things happen. Maybe not utilize our resources as well as we could.
You're saying if OEB does their thing, and then we've got a broker relationship with someone else, is that what you're saying?
If they've already got a CBRE relationship to working, is that what I understood?
OEB? That's the airport.
No, it's just the airport. Yeah.
That's the airport authority. They hired.
But not Economic Vitality.
Well, correct.
See how complicated it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's somebody got to set up here and drive this damn thing. Otherwise, we'll have a pileup.
Well, I think part of it is
we won't even know we're on the same street that we all run.
Well, part of it's timing. I think the airport started this process back in 2015, and and OEV has been very slow to evolve. And I think it's just a matter of how long you wait, for all of those things to come together. When we start looking at our financials, and this is the, let me show you that. This is kind of
yeah, if we're going to get Paul on a vote here, let's go through this.
But when you look at our current revenue situation, one of the things that's hanging out there is this lease we have with the Florida Department of Transportation. In 5 years, and I didn't negotiate this lease, but in 5 years, their rent drops by $100,000 a year.
Because they did their own rent?
Yeah, they did. They did tenant improvements. Actually, we paid for the tenant improvements.
And once they're paid for, then the rent drops because they're no longer being paid for.
Okay, apparently, yeah. So it drops to $2 a foot.
We paid for the tenant improvements?
Yes.
We, as in the board prior to 2010.
A long time ago.
Yeah, it still doesn't make sense to me. Okay. Even if we paid for it, then it drops. Yeah. And it's because it's only, right now, it's only $877 a foot, if you look down here at the bottom. And it drops to $2 a foot. So we lose $100,000 a year in revenue.
That's nice.
Okay.
I don't get that. That price is not market price anymore.
I mean, that was and that was back in
07,
yeah. So Ann looked at the lease.
Years ago.
I fly spec the lease because I could not believe it. And I could not find anything. It may be that you know, Melissa, some other people need to look at it. And my conclusion was that this was a, we're desperate. That's all I could. That's all I could make of it.
And
that
and
sounds like so long ago,
and
so far away. We don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, just to remind those who weren't on the board when we went through the MOU and the restructuring with FSU and FAMU, there was a lot of bad deals. I mean, there was pay up front by FSU, good, you know, that's good, but it wasn't sustainable for FSU occupying Schlager or us because the maintenance wasn't done for years. Other things, I mean, that was part of moving that property into the master lease of FAMU and FSU, was trying to address exactly these types of bad deals that were set years and years ago, whether it's pay up front or something like this. So this is one of the remnants of that, I think.
Is there CAM on that $2?
Yes. They don't currently pay CAM or maintenance. They're on maintenance, except they do pay, I think, janitorial and landscape, their own landscaping. But with the extension of 22, they'll pay all the maintenance and they'll pay the CAM. But the net, that's I think we looked at it as another $10,000.
$10,000
is all. Yeah, about $30,000
or something. Yeah. So the capital improvements that we have before us with the budget, remind me, are any of those in the building where they currently occupy?
No. And honestly, the expenses related to that building are very, very small, like maybe $20,000 a year. The only thing we've done recently is we had to replace some carpet for about $3,800 or something like that.
So Ron and I talked about this because I was just appalled. You know, I think we all are hearing about this, but we've got 5 years until this happens, approximately. And it sounds like the best outcome would be, to me, if we were able to renegotiate something with the OT. They've got the whole building. They've got some specific uses, as I understand it, that they're making of the building.
The pendulum.
Mm-hmm. yeah. So if sometime within that 5 years they wanted something a little bit, if there were some way we could work with them to keep them in there but get them up to a market rate, to me that would be the best outcome.
Or have them move one of the other.
Pardon?
Or have them move one of the other.
What do you mean have them move?
Move out.
Leave.
Out.
Leave.
Well, $2. But only if we have somebody.
For $30,000 a year, we could forgo that to try to find a market rent.
Yeah, yeah, but that has not been easy to date either.
Well,
so.
But I will tell you, I think that it's going to be easier going forward because all the stuff that was on the market like that is going away. I mean, if you had to go build that space again.
Exactly. Exactly.
And once
but
all
they're
going to
know that.
Once
yeah.
it's all used up, it's certainly why.
Yeah, they're going to know that.
That's
so
true.
It's a good testing facility. I mean, it's a good type of building for a different type of company that may want to use a large facility for something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That it's not
mm-hmm.
another product we have out here. I think our ability to recruit, aligning with OEV, others, improves over the next few years as well. So I would say we have to have all of the homework done, as you all have done,
yeah.
list it out. This is, you know, a new time at the park. They, you know, the state may be choosing to move out anyhow, but they've decided to keep that in the test kitchen because of the facilities that are out here, and just start that conversation. I would think after next November. I don't think anything, I mean, there's going to be a new group of people, no matter who's in the governor's office after next year. So preparing to have that conversation with a new administration, new secretaries, whomever it might be, after November 18, or in 19 probably, would be what we want to prep for. Does that sound
well, a conversation right? About what? Do they still want it?
Well, about, hey, we see this coming. We understand this is a good facility for you, but here's what we're seeing. A different board long ago set this up, $2 a foot just isn't good business. So we're not going to be able to make that happen at a certain point. I don't know. I'm just hypothetical hearing about
how
it.
How long does that last?
5 years. And it's not like an option, like they say they want it, and then we say, okay. It's just a, if you want it, you can have
it's
it.
Their option,
so.
It's their option.
Yeah.
So whatever they do, they're going to have to do out of the goodness of their heart.
Got it.
All right, let's go on to the bottom line of the budget, because we want to get
well, let me, can I just, and I know if Paul has to leave, we will still have a quorum, so
yeah, all right. Just, you know. Okay.
What I want to show you, though, is what our, also our revenue potential is from the other vacant space that we have. So it's not all dire, but it does show a need to fill up some space. So I took a shot at what our current vacancy is, what our target per square foot is, and then some basic costs per square foot. If we just did 80% occupancy, we have rent potential of about $283,000.
New revenue,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can offset some of that, but we do have to get busy leasing some space. And you know, so in the next 5 years, we definitely are going to have to be there for that.
And that means moving forward with Collins.
Yes, that includes Collins. That includes, you know, transferring folks from this building over.
What
to Collins.
What rate are you using to calculate that? $4.
That's the cost. That's the okay. Lease rate I've got is about $1,650, okay. $1,660.
Mm-hmm. That's generally the market in the community. Jim.
Well, it depends on the space. You're talking about office space.
Classy office space, yeah. Basically. Yeah. BC. You know. Yeah. And it's consistent with what we're.
The draw is going to be as close to the research that's going on out here. So
yeah.
Somebody wants to build.
Yep. But the deal we just did with FSU was $1,650 for Anthropology. Park Service is a little less. They did that when the building was half empty. So, but just to show you, this is bad. This is kind of what we're going to have to focus on to get in the next 5 years to get that up there to at least offset that. And obviously deal with all of the rising costs and everything else that is going on.
Let's hope they need something really big that you can negotiate.
Yeah.
And my only other thought is Ron deals with the person who is the local contact for the building, for the facility, but if any of you, us, know that person or have any contacts, it would be nice to have just a little more ongoing information about what are they doing over there? How's it going? What would they really like to have that they don't have? Because I don't have a clue what they're doing in there, really.
Mm-hmm. We can start that.
Yeah.
Maybe you won't do restrooms, huh?
No, that's a different building.
I know, but we can add on
my food truck.
All right, so we're back to this, the position. So recognizing that we are going to have to do some recruiting, recognizing that some of those capabilities are being developed by OEV and the task force and potentially with CBRE or someone like that. All of those pieces are going to have to come back together for us to figure out how to do better recruiting to fill up that space. And we need to do it sooner rather than later. But we think those pieces are in place or will be in place and we're going to be able to do it.
Okay, a couple of comments. First of all, when voting for the budget, you're not voting specifically to hire a person or a specific job description. We're simply saying we're putting the money in the budget should at a point down the road we then give the go ahead to hire. So the money will be there and set up. We're looking pretty close to Ron having somebody he thinks he might want to start interviewing and so on. But at this point, budget simply says money is there, should we make that decision later?
Well, Dave, I think at this point, now when we were talking to the Budget Committee and Executive Committee, I think that was the case.
Yeah.
But we are now at the point with board approval that I'm asking for that to have the authority to hire that position. Now, I'll refine the job description, and if others want to comment on it, that's fine, but it would be a position for me to hire. And then you're authorizing me to hire that position.
Okay. I'd like to have that as a separate item, separate from the budget,
okay.
and discuss it a little bit separately.
Okay.
And I want to make sure, though, that we enable it.
Because I don't want to wait till the next board
right.
meeting to get that process
we'll,
going.
We'll go with that in a separate discussion.
Okay.
But the second thing I'll say is that this has been really scrubbed pretty hard by the Budget Committee and by the Executive Committee. It comes to you with their recommendation that it be approved.
What are we? Is it 129 we're approving?
For what? For the budget?
From the budget.
The budget itself is basically, and before you vote for that, there's one other adjustment we've got to look at, which I mentioned before, which is the Larry Lynch situation in that agreement.
Yeah.
Because there are, it does affect the bottom line. But right now, the budget is, the bottom line is a, pretty much a break even.
$3,000 to the positive side.
And with the Larry Lynch adjustment, I can get it even closer to zero. So, and I can talk about those changes if you like right now.
Let's do it since the budget's on the table.
Okay.
The program position is to hire somebody to design a program for then the architect to create a space for that program to be
all of it,
play, right?
All of it, yes.
Wouldn't it be possible to hire a contractor to somebody to build a program?
It certainly is possible. The idea is that you hire the person that's going to manage it, that's going to run it.
Yeah.
Not have somebody else design it and then say, here, you go figure out how to run this that I designed for you.
Okay.
And then the other thing that we added to that position is that they would then be responsible for the EEP program as well.
Mm-hmm.
Larry has indicated his desire to transition away from the program. Between he and Steve Evans, they've identified somebody that they think is capable of doing it. They want this person to shadow Larry. As I think I sent out an email to all of you letting you know that the program that was supposed to start this week is not going to happen. We didn't get enough enrollment for it to make sense to do that. So this person would shadow Larry in for the March program. Now, it's either the person that we hire in that position that we discussed, or if you decide not to hire that position, then we would have to contract with someone separately. This, what I have up here, assumes that it's the person that we hire that will shadow in March and actually execute the program going forward.
And so, that eliminates the money we were paying to Larry.
Exactly. So what Larry has agreed to in this revised agreement is
that makes sense.
He's already been paid for 4 months out of six for this one class. Okay. So he's agreed not to take any more payments until February and March, and take the last two payments in February and March to do the March program. Okay, so we would save basically six months of that contract. Okay, but it crosses years. So the impact of that is on the budget. This is the budget that I submitted to you that includes all the capital projects. Is that the contract reduction saves $16,000. From what we already had in the budget, in the contract, $2,000 worth of expenses because of the one class not happening, and I reduced the program revenue by about half as well. So that takes the bottom line down to 1678. So the only EEP contract would be for 2 months the entire year. The rest would come out of the salary for the person that we would hire. Does that make sense?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
So explain to me, so payments were made for the last 4 months. Those 4 months were leading up into the class that was just canceled?
Yes, for October. Yes.
Okay. And then he's essentially saying that he would collect the last, like the two payments for the other, the
for
last
the next
class.
Yeah.
But wouldn't it make sense for him to count that those 4 months for
yes.
this class? Right, but I mean like collecting no additional payments.
Well, he gets paid $33.33 a month for 12 months to do two classes.
Right.
Okay. This contract doesn't run by fiscal year. It runs from, I don't know, May 1 to whatever. So he would have had 6 months payments to do the October class, and then another 6 months to do the March class.
March class.
Mm-hmm.
So he will not receive anything for the March class except the last 2 months on that first
I
6 months.
Okay.
So he's still only getting paid for 6 months
right.
for every one class.
Right. I get it. It's just split.
Yeah.
It falls under different calendars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, different fiscal years, yeah.
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 Okay, the only other thing I will mention is that from the very first presentation to the budget committee of the budget, it had proposed in there $275,000 for the trail. That included an additional $125, $135 or so for lighting. The original $140,000 was for groundwork, and then the proposal came to add $125, $135 for lighting. Budget committee felt like that was a pretty expensive jump for lighting, and we pulled that item from the budget, and it will not include lighting as we go forward at this time. We didn't know whether lighting would attract more people out here dark and make them feel like they're safe, or whether we weren't ready to make that decision at that time. So the budget coming to you did not include lighting for the trail, only the construction for the trail.
And this is the reconciliation from what was submitted to the budget committee up here, and these are the changes the budget committee made. This is what was submitted to executive committee, and these are the changes that they made. This is what was submitted to you today, and these are the changes that I'm recommending that we make to get to the final budget.
Okay, Kristen, comment.
I understand the concern about the budget. Lighting is expensive. There's no electric out there, but I am concerned about this because I think long term, even short term, lighting is critical for safety. I mean, winter months, it's going to get dark at 5:30. We've got people working, research companies, later into the evening. I mean, they're out here on property into the evening. I would suggest that if we were going to stick with not including lighting, that we make sure the planning includes conduit for future lighting, because any of the site work, we would not want to go back and tear that up or anything like that. We want to just run lines and put in poles. That would save us money in the long term. I would support including a reduced scope of lighting, some lighting. I think it is really, really critical if we're going to do this.
The conversation I had with Public Works was that basically that part is the major part of the cost, is running
the conduit,
trenching conduit and all that stuff. So there really isn't a substantial savings by, you know, waiting to put the actual lighting in. There is, I realize we have a lot of trees out here. There's also the option of solar. That's something that's prevalent now in those kind of environments.
So LED and solar. Yeah.
So you can do individual solar lights.
We got any research going on at FSU with really cool batteries and solar that want to demo it out here?
For free.
Large partnership?
Nothing I'm aware of.
Okay.
Unfortunately.
I think solar is an interesting. I would be concerned about moving forward with that, and that makes sense that a large portion of the cost. I think we damage a trail, you know, depending on what type of trail, everything else. I mean, I think it adds cost later to separate the two. That's my only concern. But I don't know if Public Works addressed that question.
Of doing it separately?
Of doing it later, coming back in later, if the cost would increase at that point. I'm not talking about materials or inflation or anything like that. I'm just talking about...
Harder to do,
yeah.
I think so.
Okay. I would be concerned about that.
I don't know how many people would even walk the sidewalks out here at night. I don't know how many operations.
It's dark out here at night, even with the lights.
Even with those lights, yeah. I don't know how many of the facilities that are on our site even have employees in here after dark, except in the winter months.
The mag lab is the only place that I can think of that would pass people 24/7.
Okay. No. You got students and faculty coming all times of day and night. High Performance Material Institute.
They're going there as well?
Yeah, yeah, I mean, they have their own lab that they're working at. Yeah. And those guys don't sleep. They putter.
I'm thinking about...
HBMI.
HBMI
and
I'm thinking about the future.
Yeah.
We built a 40,000 square foot incubator space, have other companies that we're recruiting out here. Those folks are walking to and from the mag lab at night. You have a different type of... tenant then who's going to have access or want access at any time. We've talked about this in the program scope of the incubator. That's what I'm thinking. Not the current users necessarily. I'm where we want to go to a campus feel, and that includes access and even, you know, maybe an 18-hour park.
Well, I put it on the table because I knew you had a strong feeling about it.
I did.
And I didn't want it to go without you being aware of it and without there being some conversation about it.
If now, the majority wants to,
If we want to go proceed with this, it puts us about $135,000 in the deficit in our budget. So that's where we are.
The capital projects are not part of the operating budget. So we're going into a $2 million deficit basically with the capital budget.
With cash, yeah. So,
Mr. Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Kristen, I think you're speaking to something that's been a real concern of mine for a long time, but I think it's a different thing. I can't imagine that having, even if we did the lights on the trail that we're talking about, that it would get us even 2 inches toward addressing what you're talking about, which is how comfortable do people feel walking around out here at night going from point A to point B. The lights would be down in the trail area. They would not be, you know.
It's a master plan issue. You're right.
Right.
It's not just
right.
one, but anything we do needs to consider that.
Yes.
Good point.
Yeah, yeah. And I absolutely take your point about doing now what we can do now to provide for that in the future. But I think in the great scheme of things, in terms of what we need on lighting, this is minuscule, you know?
That's a good point.
I think we need a complete, very sophisticated look at what this whole area looks like, not, you know, not just the trail.
All right, the chair would be glad to entertain a motion to approve the budget as presented, and then if we successfully pass that, the chair would be open to receiving any other comments for additions or deletions to the budget just passed. That puts it out as a separate issue that can be talked about separately. Gets the budget on, moving, and so on. So is there a motion to approve the budget as presented?
Point of inquiry, are you saying that we want to pass everything but this? But
this is not in there.
The lighting is not in
there. Oh, I
see.
You're saying make an addendum immediately.
The lighting is not in there.
I just had a comment.
Capital expenditures are in your motion?
Yes.
The full budget.
It's just what's in the budget right now is the trail without lighting.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will move that and then we can discuss.
Yeah. Motion's made. Is there a second to the motion? Motion is made and second. Any further discussion?
I just want to say, and we talked a little bit about this in the budget, I just want to be on the record saying, I think we're in a pretty exciting time, right? Just like capital improvements, more staff, the incubator programs. I mean, there's a lot of exciting things in this budget. But it does worry me a little bit because we are going to $2 million in the hole. And I think, you know, even though we got two new leases, FSU, you know, NWRDC, those, especially the FSU lease, is not forever, right? That their intention is this is a 2-year deal. Now, you never know. This may be long term, but I just want to make sure that we're not, you know, we finally got some additional tenants, and now we're sort of breaking the bank. I don't think we're doing that, but I do think, like, you know, we're making some of these decisions, especially as it relates to staff. These are long term costs with, you know, a short term revenues that we're making these decisions. So. That's my only concern. I still support what we're trying to do as it relates, and I don't know if we're having another conversation about the actual employee, but I think as much as I'm sure that there are talented people in this community that hope apply for that job, I think we need a national search.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of instances around the community where there's a lot of nepotism and people who think they can do the job. Sometimes that works out, sometimes it doesn't, but I think that what we're approving is, in my opinion, a pretty competitive salary no matter where you're talking. So. I think that we need to really be intentional about. There could be somebody who's done this extremely successfully in another community, and we could poach them. Maybe we're at that point where people want to start building something from scratch.
And Dave mentioned that I had talked to someone. What I got out of that is there's at least one person in this community that can do it. I fully would intend to do a national search to try to find the best person that we can find. And attracting someone here, we don't have a relocation. We don't have a budget in this. We, you know, so there are some other issues that will come with that. But I fully intend to do a full search. Matter of fact, I have a connection on LinkedIn who ran an incubator in Buffalo who just left that position. I mean, there are people out there. So
yeah.
Okay. Comment, Christian.
Go ahead.
Just clarification. When Dustin said $2 million in the hole, What you're saying is we're taking $2 million out of our capital reserves.
Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
Absolutely. And as usual, yeah, we've had money in the bank for a while, or in investments. I think it is critical to frame this year, particularly. We've talked about the public outreach meetings. I still think that is a critical need at some point when we're ready to explain where we are and that this is a point of change, that we're hitting a ceiling. Even if we remodel Collins, we don't have any other
mm-hmm.
unique space to fill these types of needs. It needs to be more of a campus feel. We need other food options out here. We need these things, in my opinion, and from everything we've learned over the years, to be able to take the next steps and recruit more. So we're investing in the position and these improvements after 7 years of hard work getting this board and the organization in order so that we can go to the next level. Otherwise, we just stay where we are. And so I think, it's a really good caution. We always have to be cautious of that. But I just think it's important to frame it, if we move forward, that we are investing to take those next steps. And we've been very conservative in recent years leading up to this point and really gotten things very tight so that we could, when we didn't make this decision 3 years ago, when we were seeing deficits all the time, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't want to be misconstrued. I guess for me, obviously this money has been in the bank for a while. We've had these reserve money.
Mm-hmm.
We also haven't contributed to our reserves in a really long time.
Right.
So it's not like we're building it up, spending some, building it up. It's sort of this is here. So I completely agree with you. It's necessary to take the next step. But I want to be on the record as saying we really, I think Ron has said it. We need to get some more tenants. And then to be honest with you, I really like the idea of this person, this new staff member, taking over EEP. And just like a broken record, I'll go on the record as saying that person needs to raise money for that program,
mm-hmm.
needs to offset the cost of that program by raising money. It's a wonderful program. We all believe in it. The community loves it. We need to raise money for that program, I think.
And that is in the job description.
Mm-hmm.
One thing I didn't mention was the FAMU grant. I don't recall if I put this out in an email to everyone or not. FAMU received a grant from EDA. We were included in the grant.
Another one.
The Economic Development Administration.
The feds.
Yes.
This is an
I-6 grant from the EDA. So there's another I-6.
It wasn't
mm-hmm.
EIEIO?
No. So we got included in that grant $15,000 a year for the next 3 years. Towards EEP.
Yeah.
Now, David, Teek, and I haven't sat down yet to find out what the specific requirements are for us,
yeah.
to, what we have to do. But it sounds a little fuzzy. There's not a lot of specifics in terms of what we have to do to justify the money. So we're going to work that out. There'll be a contract involved, and I'll bring that back to the board. But just so you know, there's some money for EEP, $15,000 a year for the next 3 years. So. I agree 100% with the position needs to go out and raise funds. We're going to look more at sponsorship models to do that. We've already had a conversation with the bank. Larry's setting up a meeting, and Dave's going to go with him, I think, to visit a particular bank to talk to them about sponsorship. So, yes, we agree 100% that's got to happen because it's not sustainable otherwise, and we can't be trying to go to the legislature every year to be turned down for funding. And so.
One last point on EEP. Ron and I have talked about this, and I think I mentioned it on the executive committee call, but I was really pleased, particularly in the briefing, but also in the blueprint items, how many references there were to Innovation Park, and it does look like there may be some movement in the future. There was an EEP-like program described in the strategic plan a year ago, but it didn't name EEP, but lots of people in the community, a lot of people around this table, thinking that this would evolve to something that we could apply to OEV for money to support different types of programs. I am hearing some from staff that that may be where it's going. Again, I think they're waiting on some of the studies, so we'll see next year. But I think that is a source in a couple of years. So.
All right, in the essence of time,
yeah.
We have a motion on the floor and a second that we approve the budget as presented. Any further discussion? Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. Now, do we want to put on the table for discussion lighting, or are we through with that for right now?
I'd like to see it postponed until there's more knowledge about the tenant and the walk to Mac Lab from the new lab. I mean, you may just focus on that, get that up, so the other looks so bad we all feel bad and decide to turn the lights up over there too. But
I'm just going to ask a quick question about timeline. So let's say, so it's in the budget. Budget just passed. What are we thinking in terms of timeline without lighting?
I don't think it takes that long actually to construct the trail. I think the process could be done in 6 months. Part of that will be part of the next discussion, which is the strategic plan and priorities. You tell me when you want it done, and that's what we'll.
Because I think that's smart. The only thing I would say is we don't meet all the time, right? So I would hate for us to wait another 3 months. I mean, because this was also a project that we were hoping to get done last year,
yeah.
Didn't get it done. So I would almost say, and if we feel that strongly about it, let's.
But you're not talking about waiting until to do anything.
I think that maybe you do it in phases. Like she brought up a really interesting concern, which is students that would in the future. In the near future, if that FSU's building gets built and our lab gets open, might be run back and forth to the main lab. And so maybe if you looked at the intensity of the use, maybe that makes sense to make that a short trail, and then it could be enhanced at a later date by making the extension of the trail.
If I could, Kristen. Make a suggestion, I think you're right on the construction, but there are design documents, permitting, that's going to tell us more about the trees, things like that. What I would make a suggestion is in that design that we look at lighting in the design and to give us an idea of what that cost would be in the future, everything, if we're going to wait on it.
Yeah.
But go ahead and have that aspect in the design document since we're paying for that up front, probably not much more on that. And then going back to your point earlier, and I believe the city manages the street lighting as well as the road. Is that right? So maybe we do a parallel inquiry about the street lighting, other options.
That's a great idea.
And look at safety and walkability and lighting in general, as you know, maybe a 3-year. You know, just kind of, or I'm tossing that number out just randomly, but over the next few years as to give us some ideas about how to improve the safety and walkability as we develop more properties. So I'm comfortable leaving it out. I understand the concerns, but I do think having it in the design and looking at this holistically is in our interest, in the, you know.
Is there any opposition to including in the design phase provision for lighting?
Does that sound all right? Yes,
yeah. Good idea.
I'm hearing no objection to that, and it's so ordered.
Okay.
All right, now let's talk about the position. Ron has convinced me that we really need this position, and there are some ways to save some money with Larry Lynch pulling out and some of those other things. But this board needs to give Ron the direction and approvals to proceed. Ron, do you want to open up with any comment?
No, I think we've discussed it. You've got the basic job description there. I mean, I think we can tweak that. But the big thing is, until we have somebody focused on it, it's we're going to be bouncing around like we have been with trails and Collins Building and all of the stuff in EEP. We need somebody who's focused on business incubation, entrepreneurship. That's their full-time job. And I think this is an opportunity for us to do it now. If we wait, you know, we're going to be here again next year asking the same question. So I just think it's important for us to move forward that we fill a position like that and that we do a national search, that we find the best person that makes sense, and we get moving.
Comments?
When you say we already have the job description, and I'm sorry if I'm behind on this, I saw two job descriptions that we looked at,
yeah.
At Exec.
There's one in, it was in the agenda package as well.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I have not looked at that. If you could, so the one that's in this agenda package that we're talking about is the one that's been, it was a shorter one, I believe.
It was a page and a half?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you just hit the high points
of
what we're talking about now?
Sure.
And perhaps what we're not talking about.
What we're not talking about is the business recruitment.
Correct. Okay.
And I cannot find my mouse. There it is.
I heard that loud and clear.
So, again, the development of the programs, specification design, the facility specification design. And again, the idea would be that we would hire that person by January. They would start here. We would be working on the Collins building. When the Collins building is done, we would move all of our staff over to the Collins building that would make this available for redevelopment. That person could start building the programs in the Collins building. I mean, we're going to have space in there for classroom. We'll have the labs. We'll have office space. So they could actually start building some basic incubation-type programs in that building. We wouldn't have to wait for a new building. But as they're doing that, then they could start focusing on What's the next building going to look like? What's the full-blown incubator going to look like? So it would allow them to move, you know, to keep things moving towards our ultimate goal, which would be the 40,000 square foot, approximately, full-blown incubator.
And the proposed salary?
We have 100,000 in there, plus, you know, benefits and taxes.
This will also include running the EEP program?
Including the EEP, yes.
I'll see that up there.
It's down here.
Okay, so it's all
business incubation, accelerator, and entrepreneur excellence program.
Okay.
And I would think we'd add value to this person if they had some previous history with grant writing and success with that.
I think I added that down here.
Mm-hmm.
Right there.
Yeah, good. Okay. That was not in the original one, but we've added that.
Great, and the raise money, the whole raise money thing.
You know, it'd be nice if I was impressed with Jim Davis. Some of you all know Jim Davis, he was Blueprint for many years. I was impressed with the number of grants he was able to find after we gave them permission to go on and do something. He found money everywhere.
What are we calling this person?
Right now, it's a long title. Director of Business Incubation Acceleration.
Well, I like that. I can remember that.
DBIA.
Don't be.
DBIA, yeah.
MIA.
She's DPC.
All right, Ron's made the case. We have money in the budget. I'm sort of the opinion that if you don't assign resources to make this happen, it doesn't happen. Ron's book is pretty full of things to do on a daily basis, and to add this to him, I don't know how it gets done without us then sloughing off on things that we're trying to do right now. So you've heard the presentation by our executive director. It's his request that we fill this position sometime January 1 or thereafter. This board needs to give him approval to start a search, to dust up, if he needs to, his job description, and proceed. So now, that's sort of the issue on the table. Kristen, do you have comment?
Well, I will be thrilled to make a motion for this. I'll do that first, to approve this.
Okay.
Second.
There's a second.
I kind of feel like a broken record, so I won't dive into this too much, but I know we're getting to a strategic planning discussion.
Shortly, yeah.
And I know, Ann, you were on this as chair. We've talked about this a lot. It feels better when we see dirt turning. It feels better when we see construction happening or leases signed, but I do want to recognize how much we've accomplished, first with just Ron and an executive assistant, and now we've expanded the communication. I mean, our team right now is phenomenal, and I think you said it. If we don't invest in this position, we're wanting to do too much. We have too many opportunities for our phenomenal, very, very small staff. So I think this is critical and really exciting. So I think this is the way we take the next steps.
Yeah.
I want to agree with everything that you said. I want to ask the expertise around the table if $100,000, and this includes your thinking too, Ron, is where we need to start, given that this is a position that's kind of all over the place. Is it going to give you enough room, us enough room, to work with this person, you know, as they hopefully succeed beyond our wildest expectations, to move them up? Is it the right place to start? So I'm asking. I don't know.
Well, what I can start with is what was in the business plan that the consultants mm-hmm. put together, and what they had recommended was $80,000. Mm-hmm. And so what I put on the job description, I believe, was $80,000 to $100,000. I have $100,000 in the budget as kind of a worst case, but I wouldn't start at $100,000. I'd start at $80,000.
Okay.
I think we need negotiating rooms. The expertise is going to be critical.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dustin, did you have something?
Yeah, just to cure out, Ron, if you could walk us through what the process is going to be, right? So let's say this gets voted on today, national search starts today, tomorrow, and then what is
it? Well, I think it's going to take, you'll probably post a job for 30 days. I think it takes another 30 days to get interviews done and all of that, and then, yeah. At this level, you probably have to at least allow for 30 days notice for whoever you hire. Now, you might find somebody who's not working, who can start sooner, or somebody that doesn't have to give 30 days notice. But so that's why I think it's going to take 90 days probably for that process to happen.
Yeah, I don't see anybody on the job January 1, I don't think. Maybe.
No, just a
comment.
Sorry. Go ahead, Ron.
It's really a question, Ron. So with this position, you have specific metrics as far as goals, quantifiable goals that you expect. I see the generalization stuff, but really getting down to it's like you're to produce X, and what does X look like? How do we measure X?
And honestly, I think that's something I would sit down with the person that I hire ultimately and agree on what those goals would be. Absolutely.
Okay. Expectations?
Yep. Yeah. But again, I would hope that they would bring something to the table that says, here's what a realistic goal is based on past experience. That's the kind of stuff I'm trying to hire.
Okay. Christian, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, I did. And what you said about UCF before, I mean, this is typical for managing these types of facilities in a research park or just a standalone incubator or accelerator. So someone with that expertise or know-how should be able to help bring that to the table. But we've got a good outline, right? We've got our business plan. We've got our goals set with the future developments. No, I just wanted to clarify something that, I mean, I you all may have talked about in budget or something else, but this is your hire. We don't have to go through a committee structure or anything like that. The only person the board hires is our executive director. So that would make this a little more efficient. I mean, I'm sure you'll be reporting back and everything like that, but that does make this more efficient process. And I would just add to that a suggestion that if you wanted to draw in any of your cohorts as, you know, people to help with an interview or review, I think we should leave that decision to Ron.
And I definitely intend to do that. Okay. I wouldn't do it on my own. Yeah. I know folks like Wendy Plant and others that might be of value in trying to help with that.
Okay. I always felt it's like at this public level, we had one to hire, two to fire. One person hired, two to fire. I just think that's good policy.
That's what we used to say about the blueprint director and planning director. Yeah, that's true.
Eric?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, is there some place where you can get a salary survey to see how close you are in terms of your guessing? Yeah. And if you're real low, the opportunity, I guess, would be that you'd come back to the board in December and tighten it up somewhat?
Okay. Yes. NBIA. That's now INBIA. Yeah. and the AURP. I'm sure I can go to FRPN and find something.
You just have fun with no.
Any further? Okay.
I was going to say almost exactly what Kristen said, and that includes us too. Anybody on here, our board, that has expertise that you think is useful to you in the hiring process.
Yeah, and if somebody wants, you know, just says, hey, I want to, you know, interview somebody, what I don't want to have to do is have public meetings. So if you want to do something one-on-one and just meet the person, it could also be, you know, we narrow it down to three, you know, but again, I don't want to wait for public meetings to make
it. It's such a crucial hire that I'm just like, okay, no, I don't want to do this. I mean, of course I do, but I don't.
Yeah.
It's yours to do. So whatever you think.
Mine to live with.
Yep, I think that would
be the one that's fired if I hire the wrong person.
It's good.
Yeah.
Okay, there's a motion on the floor. There's a second to that motion, and it is to grant to our executive director the permission to proceed with interviewing, and then if so, right candidate pops up, to go ahead and hire that position effective not earlier than January 1. Is there any other comment? Hearing none, those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries.
Every meeting we're getting lost.
Boy, we're moving forward. Yeah. I'm impressed with our progress. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about the strategic initiatives.
We still have one item that hasn't been voted on, and that is the revised Larry Lynch letter agreement.
Okay. You brought it up. Go ahead and discuss it.
Well, you mentioned...
I mean, it was the budget change was approved, but the actual agreement hasn't...
it's the same as that we approved in the budget change, right?
Yeah, you approved the budget change, but you haven't actually approved this particular agreement. Yeah. So this agreement is basically reflects what we said, which is he would accept the 4 monthly installments towards the next class, and then we would pay him another $33.33 each month for February and March. And then he agrees to help with the transition. He's also agreed to continue to seek out additional funding, for example, to work with Dave on trying to get sponsorship money and training his replacement.
So he's ready to come
out. Yeah. Yeah, he's already reviewed this. Let me just say, he has been ultra cooperative. This was not something that has been forced upon him. I think he was ready to do this, but he wanted to make sure they could at least have somebody lined up who he thinks can do it. He has been very flexible in how we work this thing out. I think he wants to support it going forward. It's his baby. He doesn't want it to die.
Yeah. Dustin?
What was the reason that we had to cancel this cohort?
Lack of registrations and all.
The second question is, how much money, if any, has he helped raise so far?
None.
Okay.
We do have $15,000 from FAMU to start. So.
Yes.
For next year, the next 3 years.
He was not involved in that.
That's correct, he was not. Dan?
So just a note, and this kind of responsive to your question, Dustin, it's clear that the entrepreneurial excellence education, whatever, ecosystem is very full.
EEP, I know that.
Yeah. Everybody's doing everything right now, and I'm sure there's going to be a winnowing out process, and it's something that Ron and I have talked about. We need to really keep our eye on the ball. What is our niche? And not do something just because we do it, but what is our niche? And it's going to be a iterative process. Not getting enough applicants is information.
Well, we actually had 8 and 4 backed out for reasons of timing, I understood.
And that's information too. It may be a one-time deal, related to the hurricane, it could be anything.
Hurricane, I think, participated in some activity, and then the job market's different.
Yes,
and
it is.
People are making more money,
just working.
They got a job. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
So part of this new position, my thought is that person, as they're developing these incubation programs, we've always kind of seen EEP as a potential pre-incubation program, and so their job will be to tweak EEP whichever direction it needs to go, to identify those things that differentiate the program and do a better job of marketing based on that differentiation, because there is more competition in the market now with what TCC is doing with their Spark program. And it's not necessarily head-to-head competition, but we're all competing for people who want to be entrepreneurs. So we have to say, how are we different from what TCC is doing? How are we different from what Domi's doing? So we need to be able to go out there with our marketing and say, here's why we're different. Here's how we may fit you may fit this program better with us, or maybe it's the others. So anyway.
Dustin.
Last thing on this is, I think that's totally right. I think there's a lot of competition with it. But I guess, and I don't know how I can be more clear about the importance of what I believe we are asking Larry to do. Like, so for instance, it's October, right? This is when committee weeks start. I'm the manager of legislative affairs for the city. Larry has not reached out to me about any legislative priorities, right? That those priorities are coming before the city commission at our next meeting on the 26th. I know the county's probably on a similar timeline if they haven't already. So when I say, the market is the market, the competition is competition, absolutely. This is a lot of helpful information. but I'm not sure that the fundraising aspect of this is getting enough attention. And maybe it's just me beating myself over the head saying it over and over again, but it's like we're saying these things and then we amend the contract and then we are getting nothing else.
I'll be honest with you, I don't think legislative funding is worth it, the effort that it takes to get legislative funding. I think the sponsorship approach is, and that's what I was talking about. Larry and Dave have already talked. We've already started a conversation with a particular bank. I think that we should be talking to other banks and others that might be interested in this, and I think that's the way to go. And Larry and I have had that conversation.
Okay.
It says legislative in there. I didn't take it out, but I honestly don't think that that's the way to spend our time.
Okay. That's nice to me.
I get some, quote, brownie points with federal government for doing community research, community reenactment, reinvestment, I guess, right? And so the CRA is pretty big for banks. This would be one opportunity to think, say, well, here's what we're doing for the community. We've sponsored this particular program or whatever. So we're going to approach it from, this is a way to fulfill your CRA.
And I've already had an initial conversation with them, and they are interested. They do think that program fits with what they're doing. So it's just, and we, you know, we had this, that strategic planning meeting. We brought stakeholders in to talk about that, and it seemed like that was one of the things we came away with, was sponsorship. Money may be the way to go. I mean, there were some thoughts about going back to graduates and stuff, but most of those graduates aren't far enough along in their businesses to have anything to contribute. But
all right, in the emphasis of time, we have a motion on the floor and a second. Is there action now to approve this agreement? Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed by like sign. Motion carries. Okay. Anything else relative, associated with, or tied to the budgeting process? All right. You now have a document before you, or should have. You're going to put it up there. It's the Executive Director's Work Plan, Strategic Initiatives Outline. He'll pull that thing up. You'll see.
Oh, you want to see the outline?
Yeah, let's see that outline. First 10 items on there, particularly on the draw everyone's attention to. I really want to make sure we get the board really involved in this discussion.
Is that just to remind you, Dave, about the presentation that I have on the strategic plan update?
Yep. Okay. Yep.
That was not included in the agenda packet. So.
I understand. I think I understand what you're saying. Okay. Yeah, but this piece is not included in the agenda packet.
No, the little outline is.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Ron has listed here what he believes might be, in his mind, the 10 most desirable, I guess, or outstanding initiatives that he should be pursuing. One of the things I'd like to do is to take at least three of these that we really focus hard on, and that we report back to you each meeting in some specifics of how we're doing on the top three. And so my thought to you right now is to look over these 10. Tell us if you think there's 11th or 12th that we left off or Ron left off. And then after you have done that, I'm going to ask you to go back and list the three that you think are of your highest priority that we should focus on and report to you each board meeting. So you will score the one you think you like best as a three, the one you think is the second most important as a two, and the third most important as a one. And we'll tally those up, and we'll give you at each board meeting a little more update on the top three you've asked us to focus on for your attention. Is that what you need?
Yeah.
Clarification on that?
Yes, ma'am. And that means he's not going to work on all 10 of them.
Yeah,
right.
I'm trying to find.
We're going to try to give you more detail on the ones you think are the most strategically important for you.
I wonder if it would make sense, Dave, to go through this little presentation first.
You want to go through
it? Because it talks about all of this stuff.
All right, let's do that.
And I actually have these outlined at the end of that for further conversation.
Proceed.
What I did is put together just this little PowerPoint that sort of walks through the strategic plan that we put together back in 2016. And just to give you a little update on just within the framework, if you all remember this document right here, some of you weren't around for that, but this was the action plan that was adopted back in 2016. You notice we wanted to get everything done in the first year. It didn't happen, okay? So what I want to do is just kind of step through each of these and just give you an update on what's been done and kind of where we're going, what our successes have been, and where maybe there's some more opportunities to keep going. So our five top strategic priorities were, you know, to be a creator of companies and jobs. That's, at the end of the day, that's what we're after in our whole economic development initiative. We know we need to create a more inviting place within Innovation Park. We need to do a better job of marketing, communications, and we need to be economically sustainable and highly efficient, effective organization. So we built an action plan around those five strategic priorities. The first one, which was the creating companies and jobs, we had these six things that we wanted to get done, which was to create a commercialization space in Collins, the incubator accelerator, business attraction capabilities, the partnership with the airport, cluster mapping and develop programs for startups. So that all should sound very familiar because we've been talking about all these things for a while. So the first two kind of have merged together, which is the Collins and the business incubation acceleration. So we had the Jumpstart Committee that had four meetings, talked to a bunch of stakeholders. We learned a lot in that process. We did the architectural engineering study and found out not a good fit for Jumpstart to go into the Collins building. But out of that, we did get Plan B for the Collins building. Okay. We did grant applications for both the Knight Foundation and the Florida Job Growth Grant Fund, which that decision is pending. Kim, I don't have an acronym for that one, so I wish I did. And then we also
WHO.
We also hosted the EDA representative for Florida came twice, and once we took him on a tour of the Mag Lab, AME, and HPMI. So he really has seen what we're doing here. He is anxious to give us money. So we just got to get that incubation program going and have that person that we just approved involved with the EDA and start working on how we're going to get some of that money. So, and then that's the position you just approved. The business attraction capabilities and cluster mapping, we had a nice long conversation already about this, and that's been the evolution of OEV and the Magnetics Task Force, and then the industry cluster analysis that's going to come out. So basically what we're saying is OEV has come along, and they're going to really be a big part of that business attraction capability for us, and you've rightly pointed out that we just need to have a close relationship with OEV to keep that element of the strategic plan going. And again, the partnership with the airport. I did have a meeting with Chris Curry before he resigned, and it had very kind of lukewarm reception. He was very focused on what they were trying to accomplish. But at the chamber conference, learning more about CBRE, I do think that is a really good, potentially beneficial relationship to get involved in. It just depends on how quick OEV can get up to speed and what the Magnetics Task Force comes up with. It's just, how do we get all those pieces to fit together? It may work, it may not, but I think it's worth exploring. So we'll keep going on that. Developing programs for startups. So obviously the EEP came around. We've also had our first E-Club Tallahassee meeting with past EEP grads and tech grant winners. We have the new position to work on programs for startups. And we continue to do very well, I think, with the tech grant program and our tech topic events. And Denise is doing a great job with all of those. Successes around this whole job creation, and it's not just about attraction, it's really, in some cases, about retention. So we've had the Application Development Center for Danfoss open officially June 17th. I don't think you know this, but the Project Campus deal was finally signed a couple of weeks ago, after a lot of work.
But it's still a big secret.
It is still not ready to go out. We are working with OEV and the company and the governor's office on a press release that will hopefully come out within the next week or two.
Oh boy.
And we have had a lot more OEV engagement through the monthly meetings, as we talked about. I am participating in EBCC, as several people in the room, and obviously our representation on IA. Not our representation, but our luck on having somebody who's on IA.
And even with what's happened with EEP, I still think it's been successful so far. I think that obviously there's more we can do there, but just getting the EEP program was kind of moving things forward for us faster than they might otherwise if we had to create our own program. And then the E-Club of Tallahassee, which Denise got going. As far as the inviting place to live, work, and play, and this I kind of just did in line as we went. The top of the list was creating mixed-use development. We still have a long way to go for that, but the anchor for that is going to be our full-blown incubator. That's the intent there, but also some other elements. That's going to require, I think, some public-private partnerships to make that happen, bring some private money into the mix. Again, we've got a long way to go on that. The walking trails we've talked about, signage throughout the park. We did include that in the grant application. Our signs around here are, as Stephanie will attest to, we have buses hitting them, and so we've got them leaning, we have students stealing, signs and names of streets. We've got a sign that the street name we have to change because somebody changed it and didn't get approval. It's called Engineer Drive.
We approved it at the last meeting.
Oh, did you? The new one? Engineering Way?
Maybe two meetings ago. Yes. That has been done. It had to go all the way through the county commission for that.
To change the name of the street. So somebody changed it to Engineer Drive, so we have to now change it to Engineering Way. It costs $600 or something. But you approved that. It was in the budget. Hey, we have some really important issues.
There's a committee, there's growth management, there's
just
EMS.
Think of everyone had to touch the fact that they want to change that name. So.
Yeah.
What do you call it? EW for Engineering Way. or U for short.
apparently, it's actually called FSU FAMU Connector.
Right, yeah.
And
Connector, that's one that's hard to drive on.
And Connector is not a legal name for a street, apparently.
Or driving behind the engineering building over there, speed bumps.
Yeah.
We're like,
and that's an actual street, not a parking lot. That's for sure. Okay. And then we did actually have in there the explore alternative uses for the night administrative building. So I think this is going to open the building up with what we're doing on the Collins building. So I'm excited about that, actually. Not so much about losing our great view, but. As Kristen pointed out yesterday, we'd come over here for coffee in the morning and relive it.
He was so nice in his office yesterday morning, and the windows open. It's going to be a great little restaurant or something here.
And then this
Starbucks right here in this room.
Making the land and building development process easier to access and understand, which we've been working on. We do have, we have created a site plan review checklist for DRC to make that process a little faster and easier. And consistent. We have drafted changes to the CNR. We still have a long way to go to complete that, but that's on the list of things you get to help us prioritize. We need to amend the PUD just to make the cluster development parameters more clear. We did it in 2012, I think it was, 13, when I first got here. It was being wrapped up, and unfortunately, the way it was described in the PUD, it's not real clear when you can apply the cluster development standards and when you can have to apply the other standards. So when it comes to determining what kinds of setbacks you can have, it's just not clear. So we just need to put some clarity in that. But to amend the PUD is a process. So
I'll mention that again when I get to the update from Blueprint Planning.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then OEV has submitted their own Florida Job Growth Grant Fund application that includes in it some funds for master planning, stormwater planning, and a road relocation project to move the entrance. I think as we were discussing Project Campus, to move the entrance and widen it in the process. So there's money in there for that, so about $4 million.
And that's the Roberts Road.
It's the Robert Rose entry.
And that application, the only application OEB submitted, was entirely focused on Innovation Park. And that was discussed at the last Blueprint meeting. That was a big deal.
They haven't actually submitted it yet.
Right.
They're just about to, but I think IA had to approve submitting that.
We approved them submitting it. We didn't see a draft. The draft was going to the leadership group last Friday, right?
Okay,
yeah.
So again, it's all about making the whole development process easier. Obviously, if we're going to go out and try to recruit businesses when they do decide to locate here, we got to make the process seamless and take down as many barriers as possible. And then creating events to engage more Innovation Park members and others from the community. Our DPC is working with CCYS on a 5K with MagLab. So anyway, these are some of the possibilities that she's working on right now. So Dave has also requested that we do some stuff out here. I think one suggestion was hot air balloon rides and a car show. So we're just the idea is what kinds of things can we have out here that bring the community to the park?
A lab crawl event with local brewers.
Yes.
Now I can picture.
You can get behind that.
Well, we were talking about getting the trolley involved too.
Yeah.
Getting the trolley and having everybody kind of crawl
to the trolley
and then crawl over.
The pedicabs would be good.
Yeah. That's
no,
it.
No, you and Kristen Roberts.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all talked about this
a while ago.
We're working on it.
Yeah.
All right, continue.
All right. So, go ahead. And she's also looking at what other research parks are doing, you know, for events. Biggest success that we have is I already told her boss, the new property manager is doing a great job. It's just the basics that we have out here, the attention to detail, staying on top of contractors, making sure they're doing what they're contracted to do, and I think. If you've done, I think when we went over to the Fuquay complex, you noticed it's looking a lot better than it had been. And also the deferred maintenance report that you saw with the budget that included the, you know, how bad the restrooms were, once you approved it to upgrade those, that was all her doing. She was begging for money to fix some stuff. So. And then being creative, proactive, and adaptive in our marketing of our mission and value proposition. The best thing we did in the last year was hire Denise. She has really tackled this. We've got a little ways to go yet. She's got some money in this budget that she's going to get to play with. Her only regret is she didn't ask for more before we spent it. So she is going to be working on this, merging the two brands as well as the websites. I think we agree that the time is right to bring it back to be about Innovation Park and not about LCRVA. And so she's going to be working on that. One thing that this increase in community engagement for board members, we need input from you on how to make that happen. Because, you know, we need board members to attend events, to be visible, to represent LCRDA out in the community and like I said, just be visible. So, I'm sorry, Innovation Park.
Yeah. Have a training.
She's got to retrain me.
Right.
It took me 3 years at least to get people to used to say LCRDA letters in the correct order. All right. So, her successes are many. So she developed the Innovation Park rat card. She did a whole marketing exhibit, tabletop display, so when we go to events now, we have something that looks really good to talk about Innovation Park. She did a drone video, which is really cool if you see it on the website. And we also have used that at the Discovery on Parade event. Stand-up banners, all that stuff. Social media, search engine. Here's the big one for Kristen. When you Google Innovation Park now, we own that name, and it doesn't talk about anything that happened in 2009.
This has been gold.
It's great.
Yeah. So, and that's just all of Denise's work on our websites and stuff. So, consistent monthly newsletters. You all should be getting those. She's working on some other things. A Forge trend ad we did. She's started engaging the media directly, meeting with them, talking about how they can help us. We did a couple of WFSU perspectives and news brief appearances. So we've done a lot of getting our name out there. It may not always seem like it, but we work really hard at it. And it's a never-ending job, and we're going to keep doing it. But Denise is doing a great job. And here's some examples of things that have been in the news since she's been here. There's some more.
What about the old shopping center? Why was that?
That was the FSU Department of Anthropology moving over. Oh.
We got a lot of play for Anthropology moving over.
Yeah, we got about six.
Yeah. Community engagement, these are all the things that we've been doing. The Congressman Dunn Roundtable, we organized that, we participated in it heavily. And thank you, Kristen. These are the organizations that we're working with. These are the one-on-one, well, mostly one-on-one orientation presentations where I've had people in this room and walk them through everything there is to know about Innovation Park. And then we also did a presentation, well, this has been a little more than a year ago, I think, to Leadership Tallahassee, where they actually came over to the park and we gave them the whole spiel. And then in the last year, I did make a presentation to the Grow Business Committee of the Chamber, and that was really good opportunity to get in front of those folks. As far as being economically sustainable, you know, one of our goals is obviously is to get the mortgage building up to 80%. We're currently at 47%. We worked with Talco for a year to see what kind of, you know, if we had a broker involved, what might happen there. We really didn't get any traction on that. The only lead we got was something that I developed through FAMU, and we worked that lead for, I think it was at least a year, trying to work with the Department of Entomology to locate, and they were going to take the entire Morgan building, but just changing leadership at FAMU and funding, and it just wasn't going to happen. So as a result, it did free up space for NWRDC to expand, so now they're up to 4,000 square feet, which is pretty good. And they just signed a three-year deal with a couple of one-year options, so they're there for a while. It's a really convenient space for them right across the street from their main.
And you handle that?
Yeah. We also have a good relationship now with FSU facilities. They're leasing arm, David Thayer and his group. They've come over and met with us, and so they're very aware of us and what we have over here. And I think if there are other opportunities that come up, they will work
with
us.
That's a new day, huh?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It is.
Long way from Kirby Kipper.
That's what that'd be.
So, and as you know, Anthropology, you know, Anthropology took care of this one, which was, you know, we were working to lease the rest of the building to the Park Service. That wasn't going to happen, so we were able to switch gears and get Anthropology in there. Certain amount of luck involved in that, but we'll take it. We have a share of bad luck, you get a share of good luck. So you all know the numbers on that. We are hopefully, you know, this is not something you plan for, but hopefully we get that 43K. We'll, by the way, from an accounting standpoint, we'll recognize that in this current fiscal year, or the what just ended.
You know, reality, if we get it done by December 30th, we'll have been successful. Hopefully.
You think it'll take that long to get paid out?
I don't know. I just know that anytime you get people on different countries with different languages and you start talking.
No, this is the administrative claim. This is the one that comes out first.
Yeah.
This is.
I understand, but it's going to come out of the sale of those assets.
No, the sale of the assets is what's funding. I thought the DIP lender was funding this.
The DIP lender doesn't have any funding other than what they've been using to pursue the bankruptcy and to make sure we continue to have the technology availability, and we now own 20% of Nantong Bank.
Okay, well, we'll have to get into that, but
it's I'd say it's a sure deal. It's just a matter because it can happen within 30 days of that data, but I think it's important.
Okay, that's not the way I read the order, but because I thought administrative claims got paid within days of the effective date.
There's no assets. There's no money to pay for it. The cash that's in that account, we went and borrowed $200,000 to pay the lawyers and to keep everything ongoing to get through the process. And now we're just waiting on the meetings to take place. And there's some other buyers for that stuff.
Okay.
So just hang in there.
All right. Well, maybe we won't recognize it this year because the only thing I've been waiting for is to make it recognizable in fiscal 17 is the collectability issue. And if collectability is uncertain, then I can't recognize it in that year. We'll have to do it with it.
I mean, I'm one of the guys that signed that note. So
well, I know you are. That's why
I believe it's going to happen.
Okay. All right. Again, this building, we actually are now 100% leased here. It's not a big revenue generator, but it's nice to have the place filled up. It's really just the three tenants. But it's good they've taken all of it. More to do. The space in the Morgan building is not particularly attractive at this point. It is going to help that we're going to spend money on those restrooms to get those cleaned up. That will make it more attractive. But I think we wait for lease opportunities to figure out what kind of tenant renovations we're going to have to do, and hopefully that will pay for it at that time. Again, the broker arrangement, which we've talked about. The clock is ticking on the FSU lease. I think Eric you know, you did find out some information. I don't know if you want to share that, what you learned about that lease.
Yeah, the lease is for 2 years, but in practice, the things that need to be done, there's a building on campus, which is identified as a more permanent home down the road. Currently, the occupants of that are waiting for another building to be constructed and finished. There's a big hole in the ground right now. It's probably a year, year and a half away from occupancy. And then there would be needs for some renovation to put the anthropology folks back in the other building. Bottom line, and that's not really a particularly high priority, probably. So bottom line is probably be at least 3, maybe comfortably 4 years before anthropology really is going to be in a position to leave.
Interesting. That's good.
I heard something, yeah. I heard something different from Kyle Clark in his office when I spoke to him about it. But
this is from a practice standpoint. They want to put these folks in a particular building that EOAS is currently occupying, and they're not going to move until their building is done, and that's going to be fundamentally at least a couple of years away, and then there's going to be some other stuff. Now, whether they can have a faster track to renovations, possibly, but I think it's going to be at least 3 years, as the clock takes right now, before they would be able to be moving.
Speaking of the clock ticking, Ron, go ahead.
I was just curious, what Kyle has said.
I mean, you would know more information. Basically, what he was saying was that there are various options that they're considering. One is what you've just described, right. But that there are other options potentially of locations on mm-hmm. campus that potentially get freed up based on other construction projects. So if one of those other routes happens first, then the timeline would be faster.
That could well be, but I just don't know whether the information I got was more mature thinking than what you might have.
Sure.
In the sense that they might have made some other more firm decisions.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, the last section of the strategic plan was being a highly efficient, effective organization. These were pretty clear-cut responsibilities. One was to hire Denise. Done. There's a check mark right there. It should be. More regular updates to the board on status of the strategic plan objectives. So I don't know if once a year is enough. Do you want more frequent than once a year, which is basically this presentation at other board meetings? I think you kind of know as we go along what's going, but I think Dave is also addressing it because he's going to want it on 3 things. So I think that probably addresses that. The board officer succession plan, check, got that done. Thank you, Kim. And Dave. And then we're back again in this next year going to need to recruit more board members. Because after this year, Dave's term is up. I don't know if he's going to stay. Ann's term is up. And Paul's term is up. So we'll have to start thinking about that pretty soon.
How many members do we have?
11 plus 3 alternates for the university and TCC.
There's 6 private sector members, and you're all on staggered terms. So 3...
6 what?
6 private sector members. Mm-hmm. So 3 will be up next year, and 3 will be up in 2020. They're 4-year terms. The other 5 plus the alternates are appointed by the institutions that I think I'm the only other one that has a term appointed by the county commission. So I would just suggest if anyone, I know Ron, you'll start doing outreach, but if any of the business, the private sector folks don't want to reapply, the sooner we know that and we all start doing recruitment, the better. There is a term limit policy that can be waived by request, and there's the committee structure, and Vince would be recommending that if needed. So that would all be next summer.
So yeah, I'll get more information out on that
fairly
soon. And then we also, there was a question about developing a staff bonus plan. We determined that the statute makes it really difficult to implement a bonus plan, so we punted on that. It came up again in the executive committee to discuss it, and I think we just had to refresh our memory on what was involved. Successes, Peggy and Denise, I'll take credit for that. you know, we've got the officers in place. We did do some improvements to efficiency with our policies that allow me to do a little bit more than maybe what had been done in the past. We did just recently update our computer technology. I think everyone's feeling much better about their computers now. A lot more to do, adding a person, the recruitment, and then the update frequency on the strategic plan. So back to Dave's original question, what are our priorities? So here, these are the things. I kind of lumped some of this together because to me this is all part of the business attraction capabilities. So, you know, I there's a lot of stuff here. It's going to be very hard not to work on some of this stuff.
Well, that didn't mean we only worked on three.
Right. Okay.
It just said these are the three that you would like us to specifically focus on for the 6 board meetings of this coming year and tell you a couple of minutes on how we're progressing on each.
Okay.
Instead of doing this, we'll still do this big one once a year, but we'll also give you a interim update each 2 months on your top three that you select. So take a moment, list on this piece of paper you were just handed. First one you list will be the one you think is the most important, the second one, and then the third one.
And this is out of
these
10.
We will then bring all those to a tally somewhere and give you each board meeting a little briefing on each. If anyone wants to speak to one of these, you're welcome to voice your opinion real quick. Why you like the one you like the best, Kristen?
I'll wait until everybody stops writing for a second.
I'm sorry.
I'll wait until everybody makes their list of people writing, and then I'll make a comment. If that's
right.
Okay.
Can I actually make a comment first?
Yeah. Dave, I guess, and this is what I was going to ask before the presentation. Although I'm really glad we had the presentation, I pulled up that. The same list, and it is really impressive how much progress we've made. Even if things aren't complete, we've made progress on all of these different elements. So I guess I'm struggling a little bit hearing more about these different items for the full year. I'm struggling with picking any of them because...
Do you like them all?
Well, I think they are all interrelated, and I think with hiring someone new, with the new relationship, evolving relationship with OEB, with marketing plan under Denise, these types of things, if they are 10 strategic initiatives, I guess the question I had, Dave, what you reminded me of was a conversation we may have had last year or the year before, where we wanted to do a deeper dive into certain subjects at different board meetings. There was one where we went through all the blueprint projects, things like that. Taking a deeper dive into one of these at a board meeting, I can fully support. And I think, you know, after a few months getting an update on, or at the next board, you know, on the hiring, on incubator, having some goals in that way, that makes sense to me. But I guess I picked up on Ron, the item in the PowerPoint of do we want more frequent updates on this list? I wonder if there's just a standard list that's in your executive director report that is these elements with kind of a little progress statement under each one. I don't know. I guess I'm just struggling with picking three of them because I would say whichever is active at that time that we need to discuss, that the exec, that you and Ron could make that decision. But I was looking for a little more direction. I guess that
was
it.
Well, one of the things that I felt like this was important information we saw today.
Mm-hmm.
It's way too long to do every board meeting. And it's probably too little progress on any one of them. But you talk about the deep dive, I sort of say in a shallow dive on three that we would bring to your attention and we'd say, okay, here's what's happened in the last 8 weeks and here's our progress we've made and here's what we need from you and here's where we're headed and those sort of things. But to focus on at least three of these, Now, maybe through the year, we change and drop off one and add another that you determine is what you would say the top three items you'd like to hear a brief update on at each board meeting. So just something to put in a little bit different and to give you more of an appreciation of what our executive director is getting accomplished. Shanta?
I guess my thought, and I came in late, so I apologize if any of this was said or discussed before I got here. But I guess what I was thinking, when you look at the priorities and trying to say get three, I would say maybe we should have three that are focused, that are elevated focus for the year, with the other ones all being things that are going to be worked on. And then maybe at each meeting in the director's report, we can just get a one or two sentence update on where all of them are, with maybe a little more attention to whatever three we all come to an agreement on. Again, I don't know if that came out before, but when I think about priorities, it's going to be hard. I would say, what are going to be the three that are going to get the major focus, recognizing that we need movement on all, but some are going to be
We did not intend in any way that we were only going to focus on.
No, I know, and that's what I'm saying. But I guess for me, saying which three would get attention, so then is it going to be, are you getting rotating, in-depth discussions on alternating three every session, or are you getting, or at some point you're getting an overview of where we are on all of them? And that's
Would it work better if we said these are the three highest priorities, and then we will add a fourth each time, depending on what we think is the issue of the immediate term.
Can I make a recommendation?
Yes, you may. Since you're going to have to do this.
Yes. How about if I give you reports at each meeting on the Collins Building renovation, the new incubator development position, and what they're working on, the Central Pond Trail, and the business attraction capabilities, and all of those others are secondary?
That's four.
That's four. To me, those are the four
highest priority.
Highest priority. Yep.
Well, don't some of them, they also connect?
Yes.
That's how I see it.
Right, because there's like the capacity stuff is going to capture two or three of those.
I mean, I'm not saying I won't be doing those.
Those
will be the secondary things. They'll be in the report, but the things I'll focus on is the activities that are happening in those four areas.
Say those four areas one more time.
It's the first three on the left and the top one on the right.
Okay.
That's
fine. Kristen. I really appreciate you bringing this up and with the PowerPoint, because it's a different way of framing this and thinking about it. And I hadn't looked at this list in this way before the discussion. So I could put these into four categories. That was incubator and accelerator, the infrastructure and program, projects and development, PON, CNR, signage, and mixed use, the business attraction group, and then communications, public event and marketing. Seems like there's four categories here. And I like your idea of what is really at kind of the top of each of those categories. I mean, the hiring, the accelerator incubator under the projects, the pond, business attraction, and then we often get communications update, marketing plan, anyhow, in Denise's report. So I like what Ron has suggested, but I wonder about grouping these. I like the way you kind of group the business attraction, but I would say the events and the marketing plan kind of go together under communications and marketing, right?
You're still going to get that from Denise.
Right. I'm wondering, as we look at the priorities in the future, if those kind of groupings kind of help us think through these things, and then there's highlights within that. I don't know if that's making sense, but I like Ron's suggestion for the top. The top four, but they're. Well, I still think we need updates on.
We're not eliminating any of these.
Right.
But we didn't want to do this entire presentation every month.
No.
No.
It's just too long.
We didn't try to make these meetings last an hour. Because you're going to run over a little bit, and it just turns into 2 hours.
It's getting close to 2 hours now.
Actually, all right,
cut this short. Are you happy
yeah.
with what Ron recommended, and we won't even have to vote? Does that suit you?
Trust okay. me, you will get all the information you
yeah.
want.
Oh, I completely agree. I think the conversation is good. I'm just wondering if it helps
how
not to have the presentation every month, but have this list, which is, you know, as part of the ED's report. Yeah.
So if I understand correctly, these are our priorities. They will continue to be our priorities. We may not hear about them every meeting, which is fine.
Yeah, I will structure my report to basically be more organized by what the strategic plan says. We'll go with that and set the strategic priorities, and here's what we did to work on each of those.
Okay, let's move on. At this point, we're going to call on Kristen to give us an intergovernmental agency report and the OEV update.
Oh, so I know it's late. Kim, you were not here when it was 3 hour meetings every month. So
wow.
just letting you know.
More than three.
Dave and I session there for you.
Yeah, we started 8 and go to lunch.
We did. That's true. but the goal is good. So, okay, I was on the road when the executive committee met and got to give you all just a brief update, and I don't think we need to spend too much time on this, but like I said before, and I think, Dustin, you were in the room, I'm not sure anyone else was there, but the blueprint meeting, I am really excited about how many references there are to the park. In my briefing with Ben Pingree and Christina Pernitz, they truly understand what the potential is here. I think the Florida Jobs Growth Fund grant application process and other things they've been working on recently gave them a really good insight into the need for shovel-ready sites out here and the stormwater and those types of things. So, Ron, you've highlighted, yeah.
There are
Ron,
eight references. Now
Ron did a search for the references.
What
so.
About CRDA?
Probably.
Nice,
stop.
Nice.
Stop.
Probably
not.
Please God,
yeah.
don't check.
it was mostly, I think I saw mostly innovation work. This also, just letting you know, we got a mention at the chamber conference, Kevin Graham, when he was talking about Gateway Project, there people are recognizing more, referencing us more, and that's just good. We need to do a lot more of that. So specific to OEV, I will skip over the Magnetic Task Force. We've already talked about that. Florida, the application to DEO that Ron has now seen a draft of, talks about that being the Roberts Road, moving the entrance and the stormwater. The only thing I will add to that is in my briefing, talking with Ben and Christina, as they described why they constructed the application like that, and they felt so strongly that OEV's application to DEO should focus on the park and on those infrastructure components. Of course, that's a big part of the grant. Was that we have the highest potential for development, that Ben now, he's not just director of Blueprint and OEV, right? He's over planning, and I think this opened their work on different projects recently, showed them that we still have some questions about stormwater and some other things like that. Now, as Ron mentioned, we did a big PUD revision many years ago. When we've gone back, there is still some questions. You mentioned the clustering and things like that. I asked Ben during that meeting whether they get funded by DEO or not, whether they're awarded this money or not. I suggested that we did a lot of work. Planning staff was very helpful. We did not have to work with a consultant at that time to do the PUD revision. We had relied on some information, I think, from Kim Lee Horn before, and or maybe we did have some help. Sorry, Wood and Partners did help us with it.
Yeah.
Forgive me. Yes, Wood and Partners did. So that it would be in our interest to sit down OEV planning and LCRDA to Innovation Park to look at the PUD as a whole to make sure everybody's on the same page. There's still some questions every once in a while about master plan with FSU and FAMU, and they're updating their master plan. So Ben thought that was a really good idea. So whether they're funded or not for the stormwater component, I think we have some energy from Department of Place, which is all three of those organizations, and I'll get to the road, FSU's proposal and the Gateway project in a bit, that they will engage with us more and really, and as they have in the past, but it's more strategic and it's aligned with economic development on making sure the park is can have shovel-ready sites and move as quickly as possible with that. Did I leave anything out of that component that we had talked about? Or you got anything else?
Nope.
Any questions on that piece? It was just really positive, I think, and filled that out. So that's the land development side. I mentioned before, I think there may be some movement in the future after the Target Industry Center report or study comes back to look at the strategic plan again and applying for dollars for different programs and things like that. I see that discussion coming. Don't know where that'll be. So that was... there was one other piece of that which was just a reminder for you all, but that was everything within OEV's update that I saw on Innovation Park or related, really specifically. Obviously, there's a lot of other things that could overlap, but we've already talked about them. So on OEV, any comments, questions? I mean, our next meeting is December 5th. Anything else on that? And then I'll get to Gateway. Does that help?
Yep.
Okay. So I've mentioned this a few times this year, just before we get to this, ACE, America's Competitiveness Exchange. This is a program that runs through the Economic Development Administration. I just found out that they have now been awarded funding for the next 5 years, which is pretty great. Applications are open for the Florida ACE Tour. This is something Leon County brought to Space Coast, Orange County, Gainesville, St. Augustine. We've partnered, we submitted an application, and we won the bid to host ACE 8. And it's in the agenda item. I can present more on you or on it to you. But this delegation, over 50 people, international primarily, there's very few American spots on the bus. I did this a few years ago in the Midwest. We'll be in Tallahassee the evening of Thursday, December 8th, and all day Friday, December 9th. The closing ceremony is here in Tallahassee. This is going to be a huge opportunity, and a lot of their time will be out here. The Mag Lab, other places, will all be engaged on this. So I just, since we won't have another board meeting until December, I will get Ron information as we do the PR, other things. Just look for opportunities. There may be a dinner Thursday night. I'll make sure that everybody's included in that.
What are the dates again, Kristen?
It is, the trip is a full week, first week of December, but they will be here Thursday the 8th, the evening. I'm sorry?
It's the 7th, I think.
The 7th?
Thank you for looking at the
calendar. Yes, okay.
They travel by bus, or what are they doing?
They do travel by bus. Well, they're probably flying out the 9th. That's why I had it as the morning of the 9th. And they just amended it to come in the evening of the 7th. So you're right. So yeah, for me, it was 7 days on a bus with 48 people from 25 different countries, South Central America, Caribbean, Canada was included, some European countries, Israel has been included, and this is the Minister of Commerce for Argentina, top people. Other communities that have hosted still have direct benefits with connections for businesses and universities. This is an economic development trip. It is the best trip I've ever been on that was a tour of this nature. So I'll get you more information. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. So Gateway, the big one. Has everybody seen this, or should I go into a little bit of detail?
I've seen it.
I don't know.
I've studied it.
You guys have seen it? Okay.
Been a while, but I've seen it.
Okay. So I'll just give you a brief update then. You've got the agenda item. FSU started talking about potential road. It's the bright orange around the golf course. I first became aware of it about a year ago, a little over a year ago. We have talked about it here, really encouraging FSU to engage Blueprint County, LCRDA, the neighborhoods. Came into Blueprint in February. The board said, okay, FSU and staff work together, come back and, you know, to us with a plan. This is the result of that. And they will be looking for another vote in December to modify a approved Blueprint infrastructure plan by the voters. It has to go through a public hearing. There will be one of those. And I just heard yesterday that they have sent out an announcement for a meeting with the Callan and Providence neighborhoods, which are there in green. Although I did meet with someone who lives in a neighborhood on South Lake Bradford, they will be there as well, and there are some concerns from the neighborhood. So I would say the two things I would want to highlight is there was some debate about reducing our scope on Spring Hill. Bill Proctor maintains that that was supposed to be a four-lane road. The documents, the votes and everything, that decision was not made, so that's probably a two-lane. All of this is within the same budget as the Blueprint project was before, even without the extension through or on the east side of Innovation Park and Stuckey Avenue. But it is a substantial improvement to South Lake Bradford, or it could potentially be a substantial improvement.
Well, South Lake Bradford doesn't want it around to the airport.
They do not, ever. They've never wanted to be, even though water flows the quickest way, and that's what it's been. So I think wrapping this up, and if y'all have specific questions, but the two things I would say is there is a Southwest Area Transportation Study. There is some weird acronym, but I'm not going to say it. That is going on through the Transportation Board. They are working very closely with Blueprint and City County that will look at Orange Avenue, Lake Bradford, all of that. I think that study is going to be helpful in looking at this. FSU absolutely wants Blueprint money to be the primary funder for these roads. I think that helps get it into Blueprint and have more public outreach. The concerns I have heard, and this goes back to our conversations over the last year, that FSU is really focused on doing this themselves or coming up with the design themselves. They have some improvements to the golf course. They would give up some of their property along the orange line, the maintenance facility, alumni village, some warehouses down near Stuckey. But this would be potentially the primary access coming in. It could increase traffic, mostly a two-lane road. So Providence and Callan neighborhoods don't feel like they've been engaged enough or at all. There have been some efforts on some of our parts, but they haven't been. And South Lake Bradford neighborhoods feel like this was just dropped on them. So I think there is going to be some community discussion. I'm going to guess there's going to be requests. I heard this yesterday from one person to pump the brakes a little bit, to say, let's include this with the Southwest study and look at it in the next year. I think FSU wants some surety about where we're going, and that's where they're going to be pushing the board in December to commit to this. So there is still a question there. I have said repeatedly that Innovation Park should be in consideration here, part of the discussion. I did get one question from the Transportation Board Director of why not Paul Dirac, which is the black line, little one, just to the left of the B, right? And coming up into Innovation Park and connecting with Roberts there, that doesn't do us much good if we've got conservation area there, things like that. But that question has been brought up a few times. I think FSU is more interested in going through their property and it would be there right away, all of that. That would save some money.
I think part of that is there's really not much they can do to develop over here along this road.
Right.
Whereas if they put the road here, they can develop around it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Oh,
that's true.
So,
yeah,
Chris and Ron, or I have studied this. It was very hard for me to. What do we get out of this? I can't tell where the orange lines up on Orange Avenue. Is that a new entrance, or
this,
is that
this is our existing entrance to Innovation Park right here, and then this is all existing right here. They're just gonna make it better, right?
No, I mean down
right.
To the right.
Potsdamer.
Okay, there it is.
Here's Potsdamer.
Yeah,
right,
that's Potsdamer where WFSU and the golf course entrance is currently.
This is all new.
Right.
This would be a brand new entrance.
The red line is all new, yes.
Yes, and this is Potsdam.
Yes.
Yes.
So if I were these people, I'd be happy. To me, I don't get it, but that's not what I'm concerned with. So this is the new entrance, and then nothing up here. Nothing changes up here, except we're trying to get a new, better entrance up here.
Yeah.
Is there anything about this that, because I can't really see this, that gives a better entrance to us for coming from the airport, for instance? Would you turn here instead and go into some better?
You could go up, you could go Potsdamer into the park, you could go Levy into the park.
No, this thing.
Yes, thing, but this connects to Levy and Potsdamer.
And I believe, I said at the board meeting, I think this is benefit to Callan and Providence because we have so much traffic. I mean, we all see the kids out on the sidewalk, everything else. So much traffic down Levy, that's a primary entrance. FAMU Way coming from town would be a beautiful entrance, like Bradford being an improved, down Stuckey. That gets you into Levy Drive by Research A and B, the new interdisciplinary research building. That could be a very good entrance. I would love to see roundabout there, something like that. That would be a real, I mean, this road would come right past what would be our entrance to the park, even though it's FSU buildings right there, it's still the entrance to the park.
Well, it's actually, it's a little bit of ways
it's from away
there,
from that, because it's lower than stuff.
Yeah, this is Ionia here.
Right, you got to come down.
And here,
it's the other side.
A and B is
yeah.
here. That's
Sorry.
The, that's
and that's
the pond.
Exactly what I'm asking.
Okay.
It's not going to be much new entrance here.
Well, I actually...
You'd
good
have to
point.
Create, you'd have to create that from Stuckey, from where you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's nothing to hear. I mean, it's a open area of just, right now, it's, I think, fenced up and woods over there.
Right.
So you'd be creating a whole new entrance.
You have to go to Roberts to now to get
Well,
there.
Rob, but from where Stuckey curves around to Roberts, or if you come back
this way,
there's still about 3-4 blocks to come down to Levy before you ever even get into Innovation Park. You have to create a whole new entrance.
But Kristen,
I'm saying you're not driving through Providence neighborhood
get
up there. I'm saying you're
right.
starting at that land that FSU owns that could be developed and
right.
yes,
I'm
but
saying
it's
they
not
have
right
to open
on
up
the
a new
edge.
Entrance
right.
is what I'm saying.
Right.
Well, and what I'm saying
Levy
is
would be, yeah.
I think this has great potential, but if we could have two real entrances to Innovation Park, one coming from downtown, one coming from the airport, I would be really happy. And entrances that were like, oh, of course you go here, right? You know, instead of, oh, you could go here, you could go here, you could cut through here, you could, you know.
I think Roberts Avenue, the realignment of that entrance, that would be a real signature entrance. I hear what you're saying, and it's a good point. But I think, I mean, and this would be a question in the future for FSU, there would be their property in between this road, the intersection of this road and Levy, and the park border. There should be some joint signage there that this is Innovation Park and FSU, something like that. I mean, that's all I'm saying is I think it does open up good entrance potential. One of the concerns I heard from this neighbor in the South Lake Bradford Road, and this, I just wanted to mention this because you all will be hearing about this or maybe in the meetings, and I think we do need an update on this. Maybe the next board meeting will be closer to the 5th or in the spring. And I would really encourage you, Eric. I mean, I know Kevin Graham reached out to you, but there needs to be a better connection. I think that connection is being built in the last few months. I'm glad, but the real estate and the president's office needs to know that you're here and be, you know, our conduits and our connection there. That would be very helpful. So this person said in the agenda item there, they say blueprint encourages development. There's no development out there. There's no development, and all FSU is going to do is put classrooms and it's going to increase the traffic. And I stopped and said, Innovation Park, there's all kinds of private sector development. There's no classrooms. This is what I'm really looking at. Others, and it was a little eye-opening for him, and he backed off of that one point about there being no developments or other things like that. But this is, there's going to be more public concern here because the outreach hasn't happened as of now.
Okay, I'd like to kind of move us on because we're way on down the road. That's very informative, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more discussion on that as days come. A couple of quick items on my report. I want to thank those of you who have agreed to serve as committee chairs this year. Dustin's going to be chairing audit, April budget, Kim Williams on the investment advisory, and Christian on Jumpstart. You've seen, I hope you've seen the list of committee assignments. If there's any place on here you are that you'd rather not be, let me know. There's one additional change on here a little bit. We're proposing, or I've proposed, and would like to implement the expansion of the executive committee from four persons to five persons, to have a person in there called the member at large. I've asked Kristen to serve in that position. She has an extraordinary networking skill that most of us don't have. She also has a lot of history to the organization and so on. And so that would be a one-year appointment in that fifth position. It helps us get a quorum. There are no bylaw changes to accomplish that, and I believe it would be an improvement to our operation. So if you're happy with your assignments, let me know. If you're not, let me know, or let Ron know, I guess, and we'll move on with that. I don't know if any other thing is really pushing right now. Oh, yeah, I do, too. I have discussed with Ron, my thought is that there's very little invented that's new. And somebody somewhere has got some really good ideas. University of Florida has been at a lot of this 20 years longer than we have. So I have suggested that maybe in our February timeframe that we'd normally have a meeting, instead we go down to Gainesville on a bus, spend the day down there, get a briefing on everything that's accomplished, see what they've done, and come back and see if we've got any really good ideas that we might go from there. Very little is brand new. Most of the things are an improvement of what somebody else has initiated or started or so on. Be interesting for me to see what they've done with a 20-year head start on us. Are you comfortable with us taking that February time slot and maybe taking a field trip and seeing what they have done in Gainesville?
I am.
We'd work a day that we try to figure out that's most convenient for everyone. It will not necessarily be the first Thursday of the month, but we'll come up with a day. We'll ask the staff to send out a poll, and we'll figure out when we can get this done. But it'd be sort of some tours, some presentations, a lunch, and then back on the bus.
My only thought is that I would love to have it set up in a way so that we can talk about whatever the heck we want to talk about, if there's any way to accomplish that, by simply noticing it.
Yeah, I think there is.
Yeah, you can notice it, and just like somebody like Tamara may want to join us.
Just like the Nashville trip.
Exactly.
All those folks went on the Nashville trip.
Yeah.
So.
I would just suggest, that sounds fine, Christina, that back to the ACE trip, she's been working with Gainesville EDO on setting up all the tours and the presentations for that ACE trip, the stop in Gainesville. So she has developed all the relationships needed.
Also, Mark Long.
And Mark Long. He's
Sid Martin, but he also just became the interim director of the Innovation Hub in Gainesville. So he's doing double duty. So
good to know.
We've got
okay.
connection
there. So we'll have a couple of good speakers. We'll ask Ron to develop what needs to be presented to us and by whom and all that good stuff. So. Top of the sky, I mean, you know, just to throw it out there for discussion and thought right now, if it seems like it works, then we'll bring you more information at the December meeting.
Yep.
Okay. Ron, do you have more you need to present today?
All I've got is, one, I'm going to, weather permitting, I'll be in Huntsville, Alabama next week for the Association of University Research Parks, AURP, conference in Huntsville. It looks like it's going to be a great conference. It covers a lot of basic research park stuff that I'm going for the pre-conference training and all that too, so it should be interesting. And then the only other thing is we've got three committee meetings coming up. We have the Investment Advisory Committee that's in November. We have the Audit Committee meeting, which we're trying to get scheduled right now, which is our just before the audit kicks off. That's 1st of November. And the Development Review Committee, we're meeting in a couple of weeks to deal with the Dan Foss fence that went up without authorization. And the and then we do expect to be receiving a Project Campus submission to start their development. So hopefully we'll have all that stuff.
At the same time we get the press release?
Hopefully, yes. So.
Quick report, programs, communications, anything real quick?
Just an update, the next Tech Topics event is November 15th at CAPS, so I will send out an invitation to everybody when I get that squared away.
Good, thank you. Property manager, anything pressing?
Nope.
You have money to do bathrooms.
Go and do bathrooms.
I want to apologize that the meeting went so long today, but I think we've got a lot of accomplishments.
You only went 4 minutes over.
Yeah, yeah. It
over.
Just seems like it's really long. Yeah.
Well,
we started late.
Yes, yeah. We decide the earlier limit for when it's over instead of.
I don't think it's.
This was the compromise from not doing a monthly meeting. So.
Yeah, we used to do it every month, and they used to be 4 hours long. So, Christian will remember those. Thank you all for being here. I appreciate it. I struggle with some of these new assignments. You all keep me in good shape here. Tell me whenever you have ideas or suggestions.
Good job. Yes, good job. Thank you.
But I look forward to us taking that trip. I look forward to these four topics coming up each month. Glad we got the budget passed. I one more time want to acknowledge to our staff for the fine job you're doing.
Yep.
I am appreciative of Ron's leadership. I'm appreciative of the talent he's brought aboard. I am so proud to be part of this organization. Counselor, we appreciate you.
I'm glad I had nothing to say to you.
We love that.
If there's nothing else, then we are adjourned.